Good afternoon. Great to have you with us for All Things Considered on 90.3 WBHM, 91.5 WSGN, your NPR news station. A chance for showers this evening and overnight. Temperatures around 54 degrees and rising through the night. It'll be warm tomorrow and then cold once again on Sunday. A bit of schizophrenic weather pattern this weekend in north central Alabama. Chance for showers during the day tomorrow, highs around 71 degrees, and then showers expected on Sunday with temperatures only around 45. Says You coming up at 6:30, following All Things Considered, and at 7 o'clock, Snap Judgment. Support for WBHM comes from our listeners and the UAB Comprehensive Cancer Center, determined to beat cancer with options like radiation technology that can more accurately target tumors. Learn more at uabmedicine.org/warning to cancer. This is your NPR News Station, 90.3 WBHM. Good morning, I'm Esther Chalmakili. It's time to speak of reparations. That's the headline of the latest piece by columnist John Archibald of the Birmingham News and AL.com, following the turbulent and deadly events involving black men and law enforcement. We'll talk about that, and a grand jury was impaneled to hear testimony from people who knew about the alleged affair between Governor Robert Bentley and Rebecca Mason. John Archibald joins us now. Hi, John.
Good morning.
So before we get to your latest column, I want to talk about this grand jury panel assembled in Montgomery last week to hear testimony about the alleged affair between Bentley and his former top aide, Rebecca Caldwell Mason. John, what do we know about who was called to testify?
Well, we know the governor was called. Members of the staff were there. Many of the people who were involved in the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency who had surrounded the revelations that there was an inappropriate relationship between those two. Of course, there have been allegations that there were wrongdoing at ALEA. There have been allegations that there were wrongdoing in the governor's office. So it's hard to focus in on exactly what they're pursuing. My belief is they're pursuing both of those matters.
Could Rebecca Caldwell Mason be called to testify too?
Certainly she could. This is a special grand jury. It differs a little bit from the regular grand jury you see in most cases because it allows some investigation. And so it will drag out for some time. I think it'll be weeks, if not months, before the grand jury meets again. So don't expect to have answers on it real soon. But I think they're turning over a lot of rocks.
So this could take some time. What are they looking for?
Well, I think the real question is they're looking for is what happened here just bad policy and bad decision making, or is it criminal? And that's a real question. And that in terms of the governor and Ms. Mason, they'll be looking at how money was spent. Was money used to cover up anything? And they'll also look at the ALEA allegations. Was there misspending in ALEA? So, I mean, I think the sky's the limit, but those are going to be the primary areas of focus.
And we will continue to follow that story as it unfolds. Moving on to your latest column where you say it is time to speak of reparations. John, right. What do you mean by this?
I think that we have to come to a realization in some way that the playing field is not level. It has not been level through slavery, through rewriting of constitutions that reinstituted the equivalent of slavery, through Jim Crow, through housing disparities, through redlining, which kept black families from building wealth. I mean, in the white community, we tend to not want to look back, and we want to say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But honestly, the bootstraps are not created equal.
The column comes just days after three police officers were killed and were injured by a black shooter in Baton Rouge. The incident was allegedly sparked by the police shooting death of another black man in that city. You write, why not sooner? Almost surprised that racially charged incidents like these are just now becoming more frequent. Explain this for us.
I mean, there's been a simmering anger for a long time, and it's amazing. I mean, right now it is all gathered steam at the head of this spear, which is police brutality. Every social aspect, and I don't want to say, I mean, you know, obviously hard work conquers a lot of things, and people can succeed through any of it. But black culture has been put behind an eight ball for generations and generations, and it is difficult to get out of that in a lot of cases. And I think the hopelessness that that creates an atmosphere of violence. And white people want to say, well, you know, I was poor. It's not the same. It's not the same.
How has racial inequality in Alabama been perpetuated?
Let me count the ways. I mean, go back to the 1901 Constitution, which basically kept black people and poor people of all description under the thumb. The convict lease system was basically a second form of slavery. As soon as the court said that housing should be equalized, that schools should be desegregated, clearly we resegregated ourselves, and in many cases people in the black community were left in inadequate and in poorer conditions. And of course, you know, and we have plenty of guns. We have criminalized black people for things that white people would never be criminalized for. That the whole basis of the convict lease system was to incarcerate people so that they could do labor. So that's where we developed vandalism crimes and things of that nature. So, I mean, I think that to not look back on it as being disingenuous, and obviously reparations is a heated word that makes a lot of people mad. But if we could talk about it, if we could understand that the playing field is not level, then I'd be pretty happy.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Birmingham News and AL.com. John, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. It's 4:32. This is All Things Considered from NPR and WBHM. I'm Esther Chamakili in Alabama News. The Human Rights Campaign, a group that advocates for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, put up a billboard in Montgomery calling for the dismissal of suspended Chief Justice Roy Moore. The sign comes days before Moore's hearing on judicial ethics charges. In January, he sent an order to probate judges saying the state's gay marriage ban was still intact even after a U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage. Eva Walton Kendrick with the HRC in Alabama says the group takes issue with Moore's staunch opposition to gay rights, from which he cites his religious beliefs.
Justice Moore was not elected to be a pastor, and time again, he's allowed his personal beliefs to cloud his ethical and legal judgment.
Matt Staver is founder and chairman of Liberty Council, the group representing Moore. He says Moore's suspension is politically motivated and that the judge did not issue an opinion in the order.
It never said anything about disobeying the U.S. Supreme Court decision. In fact, it specifically said he did not take any position on what the probate judges should do.
The Alabama Court of the Judiciary will hear arguments in the case on Monday. Governor Robert Benley has approved the use of up to $250,000 in emergency funds to fight mosquitoes and the Zika virus. The Alabama Department of Public Health has requested assistance with its Zika mitigation funding. Bentley says he doesn't necessarily think the agency will need the money, but wanted to make sure it was available so the state could move quickly if need be. So far, Florida is the only state with local transmission of the Zika virus, but state health officials say it's very likely Alabama will face local transmission of the virus through mosquitoes. This is WBHM.